You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden.
K-State Nation, what's going on? A brand new week and a brand new reaction here on the Purple Project Podcast. All things K-State. Continue the reaction from K-State's loss on the road, getting upset by hated Missouri. Eddie Greer here, checking in for the Purple Project Podcast, all things K-State. I'll bring on Alex Aiden, my co-host, in just a moment. It's your first time listening to this podcast. Of course, welcome on board to the show, all things K-State. We don't just talk about football and basketball. Well, obviously, tonight it's continued reaction of football, but we do cover the rest of sports here at K-State here in Manhattan, Kansas. We will get to later on this week, of course, cross-country tomorrow. And, of course, volleyball and soccer will be playing tomorrow against OU on the road. A start of a hard three-game road match for K-State soccer. What can they do with that? Volleyball come off of a straight loss against Rice. So there's that as well. So if you're wanting to stay up to date on your Wildcats, this is the podcast for you. Make sure you add this podcast to your collection of K-State podcasts here in Manhattan, Kansas, wherever you listen to this as well. So we appreciate you for hanging in with us for the Pro Project Podcast. All right, folks. Now, time to bring on my co-host, usually here on Monday nights, as we're sitting here recording on Monday night, a doubleheader on Monday Night Football, September 18th, 2023. I'm currently watching the Browns and Steelers at the moment. Got the sound turned down. Alex Aiden out there in San Diego, California. Alex, how you doing tonight?
Well, Eddie, I am doing as good as you can, I suppose, after a very painful loss to Mizzou in a stupid little football game, Eddie, a stupid little football game. So doing fantastic after K-State's heart-wrenching loss to Mizzou. And I've had another tweet go viral, apparently.
Yes, you did.
So I can't stay away. I don't know what it is. It seems like every season and something goes viral. And I tweeted a video. Excuse me as I clear my throat there. I tweeted a video of Luther Burden telling K-State, long story short, telling K-State players to get off this effing field. And so I tweeted the video and I said, what a douchebag. I said, there's more I can say, but I won't. Oh my gosh, the Mizzou fans that flew into my vengeance, Eddie. Holy smokes.
Oh man, this is that's the wrong crowd. Wrong crowd.
You saw some of what they had to say, but they came in force, man. They came in force. Maybe they'll all purchase their new T-shirts that Mizzou Athletics is selling today for their win to commemorate their win over K-State to kick the Wildcats out of Faroe, which is what the T-shirt says. So, hey man, Mizzou fans, you know they talk big, bad, and mighty about being in the Big 12, but I can tell you what, Eddie, after beating K-State, they rushed the field. Made T-shirts, and the football players were telling the K-State players to get out of their effing home. So, I mean, hey, man, that's a lot of big talk and big action for a school that claims to not care about K-State. But anyway, I'm
going to
talk about all that, Eddie. Ready to break this game down?
Woo! Yeah, that's the wrong crowd, man. I've heard. Like I said on the rapid reaction, that Missouri fan base is the wrong crowd to mess with.
You're right. You don't want to mess with them.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with them.
Well, fine, whatever. I'll take them on. I don't care. But they're annoying. That's one way to say it.
Oh, I heard that. I heard that a lot from multiple sources and friends. you're brave. You're one brave soul. I'll tell you that. But Missouri, they do all have all that big talk. But after we kicked their ass last year, I guess we had it coming, I suppose. with the loss at home, K-State was ranked 15th. Last weekend, losing on a 61-yard field goal from Harrison Melvis there, 27-24, last weekend there in, heartbreaking fashion there. Offensively, K-State, man, I don't, again, I'm still sort of processing the whole game there as well. K-State, Will Howard, he was battling through a lower leg injury there. The offense, defense, whatever you want to call it. Actually, let's start with the defense for the third week in a row. Let's start there. Secondary, we talked about it in the offseason. That was a big question mark there. And, they got hammered in this game. Jacob Parrish didn't play well. Marcus Siegel gave us some big plays in this one. Alex, what was your assessive report on a defense after that football game?
You know, it was not good. It was not good. I'll say that. It was really primarily the secondary, I mean, that I thought was really, really, really bad. Brady Cook throwing for 356 yards on you. That should just never happen. He's never thrown for 300 yards in his career. And you just let him throw for 356. You didn't force a turnover. And also, you allow Luther Burden to get free. And
which is something
you know how good Luther Burden is. You should have tabs on him at all times. And he has 7 receptions, 114 yards, 2 touchdowns. That just can't happen. I mean, that just slice however you want. That just can't happen. K-State loses Luther Burden. How do you lose Luther Burden? I just don't understand.
Mm.
I just don't understand. So the secondary was horrible. I mean, the secondary was awful. I mean, it was atrocious. There were so many breakdowns on the back end. And unfortunately, Jacob Parrish was at the center of a lot of them.
Yeah.
So I definitely don't want to tear a college guy, you know, a college kid down after trying to play his best. But got to be better than that, man. Like, you got to be better than that. Like, if that's what he's going to be doing in a Big 12 play, K-State's in trouble. Like, he is. And I just praised him the week before.
Yeah, we just did.
Yep. I was counting him up saying, hey, I'm not panicking about the secondary. I'm really bullish on Jacob Parrish and B.J. Payne and Will Lee and Marky Siegel and all these guys. And then they come out and they do that, and I just look like an idiot. So it was bad. It was bad. And that was a problem. There was no doubt that was a problem in this game. Now, I thought the other two levels of defense were not as much they weren't as much of a concern to me. At linebacker, I thought the K-State did a really had some moments where they did a really nice job at stuffing some plays. Daniel Green, who had a really good game,
mm-hmm.
With 9 tackles. He had a sack. He had 2.5. He had 2.5 tackles for loss. So essentially 3 tackles for a loss. And so he was really, really good. I thought Desmond Purnell had his moments in there too. I thought Austin Moore had his moments. He had another tackle for a loss. So I think they did some nice things at the linebacker position. The problem is you lost Daniel Green. And, you know, we don't know yet until tomorrow how long, but it would appear a long time. So that is really, really discouraging. And again, we'll see what the diagnosis is, tomorrow, but it doesn't sound good one way or another. So that's bad for K-State. That's bad for Daniel Green. That's just a sad situation all around if it does end up being a long-term thing and he can't see the field. But we'll see what happens there. But I thought linebacker, they were okay. I thought defensive line, they were okay. You know, I thought they had some moments of getting some pressure on the quarterback. It wasn't anything that was consistent. Again, mentioned Daniel Green was able to get a sack. Javon Banks was able to get in there and get a sack up mm-hmm. the gut. They were able to get some pressure at times on Cook. And so, again, they had their moments. They weren't great, but they had their moments. But the secondary was really the problem defensively. I mean, that was really what it boiled down to. I just didn't really expect it, Eddie. I didn't really expect it in this Mizzou game. I thought that K-State was going to be able to slow Mizzou down. Mizzou does not have a very good run game, where they rushed for 74 total yards in the game on 28 carries, an average of 2.6 yards a carry. And that's about what I thought they would do. I didn't have a very good run game. and Brady Cook is okay throwing the ball, but he's nothing special. So I didn't think that – I didn't really see that coming from the secondary. So that's definitely the most concerning part. And, you know, we'll see if that's something that can they can get cleaned up or not. The good news is I do have faith in Klingerman to be able to figure it out, clean it up, develop guys, and progress throughout the year. So, Drew Klingerman, I got confidence in him. I do. Talking about Van Malone back there with the corners, I got confidence in Van Malone. So I got confidence in the coaching staff to get it right. But they got to get it right quick because it's not going to get any easier with UCF coming up.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast Weekly with Eddie Greer and Alex Aiden.
Yeah, I didn't expect that either from Brady Cook after we humiliated him last year here in Manhattan. Yeah, 356, that cannot happen. So, you mentioned UCF. They better get it right here this week because UCF lost their starting quarterback, Reese Plumlee. I don't know for how long, but their backup seems pretty good. Throwing over 321 yards, two TDs. That I'm talking about Timmy McClain for UCF as they throttled Villanova last weekend, 48-14. Yeah, it does not get any easier. So their high-octane offense is going to come in here to Manhattan, and they better tighten up really fast the secondary. What I got from that, and we'll get to the offense here in a second, is it seemed like a lot of breakdowns, communication, just wide open. Yeah. Plays. And yeah, Burton, you knew you had to stop him. You stopped him here last year. I mean, it could not translate. Last week, it did not translate at all. And they let Burton go off. Theo Weiss had himself a good game as well. 72 yards on six catches as well. So you know, if you have a dynamic player on the other side of the ball, you know you have to stop, put a clamp saw down on him and make anybody else beat you except that player. Burton went off, and of course, you talked about that viral tweet. He went off with his mouth as well. I'm going to save that for that could be a whole podcast itself there, so I'm not going to touch that with a fine-tooth comb. But, yeah, absolutely, you cannot have that many breakdowns expect to win football games on the road. That just cannot happen there as well. They look just lost out there. So, yeah, they better tighten up really quick. That's all I have to say there because
They did look lost. You're right. And I, you know, again, I'll give the defense credit. But they did some nice work on third downs, on really buckling down on Mizzou. They did some nice jobs in the red zone of holding Mizzou. So they had their moments. But what killed them was exactly what you just said, the big play. Letting Brady Cook throw over you, allowing these playmakers to get free that you know about, and it's not just that you're getting beat, Eddie. It's that you're having a colossal breakdown on defense, and there's nobody 10 yards from Luther Burton.
Not right? Close.
Or there's nobody close that is, you know, anywhere close to whoever it is that's breaking free. Again, Luther Burton wasn't a lot. I know Mookie Cooper also had a 41-yard reception. I mean, just listen to some of these receiving here, okay? Luther Burton had a 47-yard reception. Mookie Cooper had a 41-yard reception. Theo Weiss had a 26-yard reception. Marquise Johnson had a 42-yard reception. Brent Norfleet had a 27-yard reception. That is three receptions alone, Eddie, over 40 yards that they gave up. That can never happen. I don't care if you're playing Bama. Well, that's not a good example. Bama's playing like
Bama. They're struggling right now. They're struggling.
Yeah, that's a bad example. Ooh. I don't care if you're playing Georgia.
Georgia?
Okay, fine. Georgia's an exception. I don't care who you're playing outside of Georgia. That should never happen. You should never go up three plays over 40 yards in the passing game. Like, come on. Be better than that. Be better than that. You know what I mean? And look, they gave up a 36-yard run, too. I mean, way too many chunk plays. Got to clean that up, man.
Yeah, and Chris Klieman said that after halftime, they still gave it big plays as well. Got to limit the explosive plays, and that same notebook is going to have to translate to UCF, the first Big 12 game of the year, or conference game, excuse me, for the year for K-State this Saturday night back here at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. They'll take on the Central Florida Knights, a.k.a. UCF. So it does not get any easier for this team as they try to bounce back in. They're going to have to start out fast if they're going to want to get back to Arlington. Switching gears real quick to the offense there. I do have, well, I want your thoughts on Will Howard, Alex, 25 for 39, another interception. That's three for the year. Three more touchdowns. Benson had a big game. Two touchdowns, 78 yards. Phillip Brooks, another touchdown for him on 50 yards catching there. Sha'Shawn Ward, 54 on the ground. So we did see Avery Johnson at points in the game throughout the game as well. So Avery Johnson is starting to get more involved in the offensive game plan for Colin Klein, Chris Kleiman. All right, so Will Howard, right, Alex? Should we be concerned about the turnovers? Obviously, he was really limping around. Both quarterbacks were limping around this game, this knockout, drag-out football game, which went down in the final seconds. Yeah, but Will Howard, three interceptions so far this year. It seemed to me, and I've listened to some of the other K-State podcasts before this game, a lot of concern about this offensive line. You can talk about them too, but Will Howard, should we begin to be concerned? Because he threw, it seemed like to me, and hopefully I'm not the only one, he threw off his back foot a lot in this football game.
Yeah, he's been a little too loosey-goosey with the ball. I've thought that all year, honestly. I've thought he's been a little too loosey-goosey. The attention to detail's not quite been there on a few of the passes that he's been making. Is it something I'm concerned about? Not really, because with Will, he's thrown three interceptions, but he's also thrown for eight touchdowns. He's also thrown for almost 1,000 yards already. So with Will, I think that there's just going to be some of that. You know, I think that's just part of what you're going to get with Will Howard. He's going to throw for some big yardage. He's going to, have some explosive plays. He's going to have three touchdowns passing, almost 300 yards. But he's going to make the head scratch and throw once or twice a game, and you just hope it's not an interception, And the ball that got intercepted, if I recall, I'm trying to remember what it was. I can't remember off the top of my head if it was one that he was throwing off the back foot and he had pressure coming up in his face or not. I know that was the interception. Was it against Troy where he threw an interception where he had pressure up the gut in his face? He threw a back foot and he rushed it. I knew he had one like that against Troy. I can't remember if it was one against Mizzou like that or not. But either way, I think part of the problem is the pressure. I think that is part of what the problem is, because at least one of the interceptions was, if not two, were in part to pressure. Will not have enough time to, get rid of the ball quickly. And so for Will, not really worried about him. I'm more worried about his leg, to be honest. I don't know why Casey's running him so much. Like, stop running him. Like, do we want to do this again? Did we see what happened to Adrian last year? Like, he ended up breaking his leg. Like, what are we doing? Like, come on. I just don't understand. I know that we like the run game, but I don't think it's worth the health of the QB. If QB gets hurt every year doing it, I'm just kind of wish they would adapt. I just kind of wish they would adapt, Eddie, and adapt away from it. Because I would like to just have a quarterback healthy for a full year. Like, I would just like it. So that's just a pet peeve of mine. I just kind of wish they would go away from that. I really, really do. I know Avery's a little different. I understand that's part of his game. But Will, it's not really. So, I don't know. I just, outside of a QB sneak and a couple QB design runs, I'm not a fan of it. But that's neither here nor there. Offensive line, that's the concern. That's the problem. Eddie. The offensive line was hot garbage in that game. They were bad. They were bad, bad, bad. And I'm concerned. I am concerned about the offensive line. I have reached a concern level. They were a little in the first game against Timo, and you thought, okay, whatever. You were nitpicking, right? Because they played really well against Timo. And against Troy, they were a little, but again, they were good against Troy. You don't have Christian Duffy back. Some guys are playing out of position. Like, let's see what happens against Mizzou. And if you recall, Eddie, one of my keys to watch going into the game was that battle. The defensive line of Mizzou's got a good defensive line against that K-State offensive line. I can newsflash. The offensive line did not win that battle. They did not win that battle. They were bad. They were really, really bad. And I'm concerned. I am concerned. If they get Christian Duffy back, and they get him back at right tackle, that might alleviate all the problems. But until they get him back, they got a problem at right tackle. They've absolutely got a problem at right tackle, because you move Cooper Beebe out to right tackle, then you got a whole left guard, and you can't really run the ball on the left side. And then if you move Cooper Beebe back to left guard, then you don't have, you know, then Hayden Gillum can't really block anybody on the right side. And so it's just a problem where, you know, they're moving guys around, and you can't, and here's the thing, you can't keep moving, you know, Cooper Beebe in mid-game from left guard to right tackle, back to left guard, back to right tackle. Like, you got to settle him in somewhere, you know? So they got to figure that out. Whatever they're going to do, they have got to figure that offensive line out, because the truth of the matter is they rushed for 3.9 yards carry in game three. Will Howard was under a ton of pressure. You mentioned it, throwing off his back foot. I think the big reason he was throwing off his back foot at the time. And it just not good enough. Just not good enough. And so, look, are you going to be going up against the defensive line like the Mizzou's every week? No, you won't. But got to figure that out. You've got to figure that out, because this offense needs to run, you know, this offense needs to run efficiently. And I want to clarify a couple things quickly with Alvin, too, because I've seen a couple things out there.
Okay.
One is the fact that, well, you know, K-State doesn't have enough playmakers on offense. They just lack the amount of playmakers. I like John Kurtz, but I've heard him say that multiple times. I don't agree with that. I really don't. I think they have plenty of playmakers on offense. I understand people saying that. I think they have plenty of playmakers on offense. I think they got really – I really like Trishon Ward and DJ Gibbs in the backfield. I think they're as deep as they've been in a long time at receiver. I think that Will Howard is really, really good. I think Ben Sennett is a top five tight end prospect in the NFL draft.
Without question.
You have got dudes on offense. I'm just not buying they lack big play talent on offense. No, I'm sorry. I can't buy that. I just cannot buy that. I think that they do. I think they absolutely have that. Once Keegan Johnson gets healthy, I think you'll really, really have it. So
yeah.
I just don't buy that. I really don't. I think it's the offensive line. I think that that's been the biggest problem, is that Will doesn't have quite enough time. Keegan Johnson hasn't quite been healthy. The running backs haven't quite gotten going because the offensive line hasn't been great. And it's just kind of been a little bit of a domino effect. And so I think that they're fine offensively when it comes to this, to the talent and the explosive playmaking. I think they're going to be perfectly fine there. I just want to settle some fears. I've seen some stuff about that. And that, you know, I heard some people say that, you know, it could hold K-State back from going to a Big 12 championship. No, I don't agree with that at all. I really don't. I haven't seen anything that would indicate that to me. And that's really the biggest thing. I just want to clear that up. And then also, K-State has got to be better putting games away. That's the other thing I just wanted to get about the offense. They were not good enough. They had three chances, Eddie, to put that game away. Three. And they just could not do it. The offense just completely sputtered out. The play calling sucked. The execution sucked. Honestly, the execution was bad all game. K-State's execution from
the first quarter. Yeah, that was terrible. Yeah, it was bad.
It was bad the entire game. But K-State's got to find a way to put away games. You know, again, three possessions in a row on offense. They had a chance to put that game away, so that field goal didn't even need to happen. That 61-yarder. And they just couldn't do it. They looked lost on offense. They were sputtering around. Will was on one leg. I was almost wondering, should you put Avery in? Because Will can't move at all. So I didn't, that was a legitimate question that I had. But I just think that they've got to find a way to put teams away. They've got to be better about that. If they can do it, they'll be fine. But they've got to find a way to put the hammer down. It's going to be really, really important going into Big 12 play, because they had a chance, man. They had a chance. They shouldn't have lost that game. I mean, they shouldn't have lost that game. They had three chances of with the ball winning in the fourth quarter. And the penalties that they got when they were getting in the end zone, they kept pulling them out of the end zone. I mean, you've got to be better than that. You've got to be cleaner than that, man. So they got to clean that stuff up. But I'll say the same thing on offense. I said the defense. While Chris Kleiman's play calling was quite head-scratching, I felt like he was really coaching. I'm not going to say scared, because he was not scared. the play calling was very conservative on his side, I thought, late in the game. Well, I didn't like a lot of Chris Kleiman's play calling, not Chris Kleiman, sorry, Colin Klein's play calling in that game. I think that, I know that I've got confidence in Colin Klein to get it right. And I know I've got confidence in Chris Kleiman to clean all the other stuff up. So while the game sucked, I don't think it's doomsday. I do not think it's doomsday. I tweeted this. I think K-State still has everything out in front of them. I still think they're a team that could win 9 games, 10 games, go 7-2, or 8-1 in Big 12 play. I legitimately think that they still have that in front of them. And while as poor as their execution was, offensively, defensively, everywhere, on Saturday, everything's still in front of them. They were never going to be a college football playoff team. That was never going to be a thing, you know? It sucks to lose to Mizzou, but it's better to lose to Mizzou than a Big 12 team. What really mattered wasn't the college football playoff. It was about trying to get back to Arlington. K-State can still do that. So, pull your head down, make the corrections, and go get a win against UCF, begin Big 12 play 1-0, and start that march to try to get back to Arlington.
And everything starts Saturday night back here in Manhattan, Kansas. UCF begins their Big 12 debut. K-State will try to stop that out so quickly here. Give your prediction here as we're about to run out of time. K-State looking to get on the right back on the right track here. Taking on 3-0 undefeated Knights coming into town. What you think? Can they bounce back?
Eddie, I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. We mentioned UCF. They've got a good offense. I know they went up Plumlee in this game, or they likely went up Plumlee in this game. But I still think they're going to put up points. That's a good offense. You mentioned their backup quarterback. He played really well. I know it was Villanova, but he did throw for over 300 yards. So I think that UCF will come in and they're going to score some points. I think K-State's going to have a bit of a get-right game on offense. You know, I think they're going to come in with a chip on their shoulder. And they were in 15th in the country, and they got kicked out of the rankings. That's insane. That is insane. I can't believe that. So I think this team understands that, I think they're mad about what happened. I think they got a chip on their shoulder, and I think they're going to come out. I think the offensive line is going to get challenged this week for Connor Riley. I think he's going to challenge him. And we're going to see a better offensive line against UCF. So defensively, UCF will get their points. There are definitely going to be some points scored. But I think K-State is able to win this game. It'll be tight. It'll be a tight game. I don't think K-State's going to blow them out. But I think that K-State wins 37-31. And I think they win behind Will Howard. I heard Tim Fitzgerald say he thought that Avery might have to play because Will would not be healthy. I do not believe that will happen. I think Will will be out there. I'm not buying that at all. So I think Will will be out there. And I think they win it by 6. And I think that they have the lead most of the game.
All right, you heard it here, folks. Alex Aiden with the prediction. K-State will win this game in high-scoring fashion, 37-31. Appreciate that, Alex, folks. And that will wrap things up on another reaction here on the Pearl Project Podcast. All thanks K-State, as K-State will look to bounce back at home in their Big 12 opener at home Saturday night, 7 p.m. on FS1 back here in Manhattan, Kansas. Taking on the Central Florida Knights. Eddie Greer, Alex Aiden, appreciate y'all. The Pearl Project Podcast will roll on this week. I'll be back with plenty more K-State sports right now. That's going to do it for right now on this edition. Appreciate y'all, K-State Nation. We'll see you at Bell. Well, most of us will be at the Bell anyways on Saturday night as well. Huge game for K-State. Can they get started off on the right foot? We'll find out Saturday night.
Thank you for listening to the Purple Project Podcast. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcasts. We'll talk to you all on the next episode of the Triple P Podcast. Go Cats!